And there's actually about 9,000 partners here and about 3,000 people from Microsoft, so it's a big crowd. And just worldwide, we've got 640,000 partner organizations. So it's a very big community of people that work together around the world.
And you have, of course, Bill Clinton speaking.
Yes, indeed he is. We're very excited to have him join us to give us some thoughts about how we can all give back and support the world in general. And I think that'll be a message that lands very well with our community.
Why D.C.?
Well, D.C. is obviously a great place to come together in terms of the facilities, but one of the reasons we wanted to focus on D.C. is because there's a lot of change going on in the technology world towards cloud computing, and this is something that the federal government as well as state and local governments are really looking to take advantage of, and we thought it'd be quite a symbolic message to hold the conference here because of the focus on cloud computing.
And I know you specifically were talking a little bit about cloud computing, and specifically, and in fact, I saw Wall Street Journal story saying Microsoft has lined up a number of folks using the Microsoft cloud. And I don't have to tell you, but there's some people who hear Microsoft talking about cloud and people sort of snicker about it, don't they?
Well, I think some people might have in the past, but right now there's clear leadership coming from Microsoft as it relates to cloud computing. We have over 40 million paying seats of cloud computing customers worldwide, and that includes something like 500 state and local governments, a number of federal departments that are signed up and moving forward. So there's absolute leadership here, far and away ahead of competitors in this space. So I think people are pleasantly surprised and enthusiastic about our message, which is we are all into cloud computing.
So talk a little bit about why Microsoft is going into cloud. Why cloud computing? Why is this important for folks? How does this help people get their jobs done better?
Well, the key thing about cloud computing is it allows us to take advantage of recent technology advances like virtualization to build very scalable and very cost-effective data centers. So if you imagine a large federal department that might have multiple data centers and multiple email systems and all of those types of things, they can go through a process to consolidate that, concentrated in a series of locations, and greatly reduce their cost while allowing them to focus on more strategic things for their particular mission. And so maybe in part because of the economic reset and in part because of the general desire for efficiency, a lot of companies and departments and institutions are saying, this is a great time to make this shift. So we're seeing tremendous enthusiasm for it.
And the other thing I hear is the agility, that it gives you greater agility than just normal servers, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because we're able to, on a much larger scale, bring everybody along through new versions and capabilities, keep everyone updated, and give them just an overall better experience. So it's something that the ultimate end user of these services really notices in terms of the quality of their experience.
How difficult has it been for a company like Microsoft, you're a big company, to make that kind of transition and actually pay attention to it must be actually similar to some federal agencies that are going through that kind of transition.
It's certainly a large transition. It requires a lot of focus, but one of the things that really makes it work well is that this is something that is a win for our customers, and it's also a win for Microsoft. It's a revenue and profit opportunity for Microsoft as well. So when you get that win-win going on between yourself and your customers, there's just a natural enthusiasm that develops. Microsoft has long been a strong innovator in these areas, and just bringing all of those pieces together results in just a lot of enthusiasm. Recently our CEO, Steve Ballmer, said that about 70% of our engineering resources today are focused on cloud computing.
Wow. And a lot of, I think people often underestimate the amount of innovation and engineering power that Microsoft has.
We certainly bring a tremendous amount of focus on problems at hand. And certainly today I've met with a number of CIOs from various government departments as well as the Department of Defense. And the momentum that we have and the progress that we're making is definitely being noticed by everybody.
So give us your sense as somebody who's not in this market day to day. When you're talking to those CIOs, is there a difference between talking to a federal CIO compared to a CIO at a public sector company? Do you hear the same kind of issues that both folks are facing?
The issues are very, very similar. At the highest level, you're worried about best serving your constituents. It's worrying about the cost of delivery. delivering those services. It's wanting to take advantage of the latest innovation of what consumers are seeing in their homes and so forth. So you see a great deal of commonality. Of course, there are some unique challenges. For example, if you're meeting with someone from defense, there's, you know, unique security requirements. The government at large has specific privacy requirements, and that's part of the reason we're here in D.C. is to really demonstrate that those unique requirements are things that Microsoft both understands and is committed to delivering against.
And as you roll out these cloud initiatives, do your partners get that as well? Does it create a different kind of relationship between you and these more than 9,000 partners?
Yeah, certainly with our partners, one of the things we're celebrating is the degree to which our partner community is also all into cloud computing. So, for example, we have worldwide 16,000 partner organizations that are signed up for and are selling and delivering cloud-based solutions based on our technology. You know, relative to our competition, that's five times more in terms of partners focused on it than anyone else has. So we're seeing a tremendous amount of momentum amongst our partner community as well, because, of course, the win-win that I described earlier extends to the partners as well. There's new business opportunities for them as well.
I got to ask, why do you have, I mean, this is a lot of people to all collect in one place. Why do this? Why is this important?
Well, first of all, it's a great opportunity to get everyone aligned around a common message approach for people to feel viscerally our passion about, for example, the cloud and other initiatives we have underway. But part of the magic of these types of conferences is what happens between the sessions, in the hallways, you know, just in the lobbies of the hotels where, for example, many of our partners will sit down with those of us from Microsoft, build relationships, get to know people face-to-face, so when there's an urgent issue or something that's got to get taken care of, you've got the name, you've got the number, you know who to call, and just that network is developed, and that makes a big difference in terms of people's comfort in doing business with Microsoft and between themselves as partners.
Yeah, and I think even with all this Facebook or Twitter or whatever, there is something about being there in one place.
You know, there's certain things you can only do face-to-face.
Because you lead the business division of one of the preeminent software companies on the planet ever. Gaze into your crystal ball. So much has changed in how organizations do business in the enterprise market. Look into your crystal ball. What do you see going forward? Are there things that you're watching and say, hey, this is going to be part of how we do business in the future?
Oh, certainly. I mean, clearly the advent of cloud computing is just beginning, so we'll see that continue to evolve in the years ahead. But as we look even further out, there are trends like the importance of natural user interfaces, you know, this use of speech and touch and gesture to control computing. There are examples of people continuing to increase how they connect and communicate and collaborate, not just video conferencing and things like that, but how, you know, when two people come together, how do we make sure all of the information they need to facilitate their conversation is right there, immediately available, right where they left off. And there's also examples where we see a tremendous amount of energy being applied to providing greater insight from the technology, from the data, than was possible before. So, for example, today we all spend a lot of time in Bing and other search products looking for things. Why is it not the case that the information I need is just presented to me in anticipation of what I might do?
Yeah, and there was actually a story in the Times over the weekend about the amount of time we spend searching for that piece rather than having it come to us.
You know, I think we could all be a lot more productive if those things were brought forward to us. Absolutely.
And one of the big things that's changed in this world in just the last 5-10 years is all of a sudden, I mean, the enterprise used to define so much of what the technology basis was. Now so much of it comes from the consumer side.
You know, it is the case that over the years, the individual, the person, the consumer, has become far more knowledgeable about what technology can do, what's important, and they bring that perspective to the workplace. At the same time, an institution, an enterprise, there's very clear perspectives they have on things like security and privacy and so forth. And of course, the advantage that Microsoft brings is we have a very strong presence on the consumer side of things, we have a tremendous business on the enterprise side, and we're uniquely uniquely positioned to deliver across that boundary. And that's something that I know we hear from our customers. They appreciate a great deal.
Stephen, anything I didn't ask you about that I should have?
You know, not that you didn't ask, but I just want to emphasize how pleased we are to be here in Washington. We're having a great conference. We're very pleased as well about some of the impact we can have on the local community. Several hundred of our partners spent time in the community on Sunday, giving back to the community on a voluntary basis.
And including one of our one of my colleagues, Tom Temin, was down there packing those bags for the troops. So
there you go. I mean, yep. Just a great example. And not to mention, from an economic impact, we're estimating that about $14 million of economic activity was generated in Washington by us bringing the conference here. And we're just thrilled to have done that. It's great to be in Washington, D.C.